Well, I tried to take Professor Baugh's advice to do a whole chapter at once to give an overview, and we'll make a run at it this morning and see how it works out. I couldn't figure out a clever title to unify the whole thing, so I'm just going to give you the points in the title. There are six points, but there are three points that are repeated, which makes six. But it's really just three: a summons, a warning, and a promise. A summons, a warning, and a promise. There's a summons, a warning, and a promise, and then it starts over again in the middle of the chapter with another summons, warning, and promise. So A, B, C, A prime, B prime, C prime. If you've ever looked at any of those explanations of literary structure in the Hebrew scriptures and chiasm and all that, it's not exactly a chiasm, but it is a kind of parallelism. First of all, then, Isaiah 41. Let me read the passage, and then we'll go through it quickly. God's word, inspired, infallible, inerrant, eternal, and unchangeable. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. Each helps the other and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman encourages the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer spurs on him who strikes the anvil. He says of the welding, it is good. He nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, and wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland, the fir and cypress together, so that many may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Bring in your idols to tell us what is going to happen. Tell us the former things, what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome, or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. He who chooses you is detestable. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes, one from the rising sun, who calls on my name. He treads on rulers as if they were mortar, as if he were a potter treading the clay. Who told of this from the beginning so we could know, or beforehand so we could say, he was right? No one told of this. No one foretold it. No one heard any words from you. I was the first to tell Zion, look, here they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good tidings. I look, but there is no one, no one among them to give counsel, no one to give answer when I ask them. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. Thus far, the reading of God's word. This is as all of Scripture always is, a rich and glorious passage, and obviously with 29 verses and a whole chapter, we could spend much longer than 10 minutes on this. But let's just devote, let's meditate, let's think about what it is in general the Lord is saying and doing in this passage. And I thought it would be edifying just to sort of follow the flow of this passage, follow the development of it, see where the heart of it is, where the culmination is, and see if that wouldn't be encouraging to us. You see in the first part of the passage then, verse 1, which is, I think, parallel with verses 22 through 6, there is a summons from the Lord, not now to Israel. You're all familiar, I suppose, with Professor Klein's teaching about covenant lawsuits. Well, I don't know if this is a covenant lawsuit, but it's that kind of language. It's judicial language, juridical language. And Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is calling not now Israel to account, but the nations, the goyim, those outside of the covenant confessing or Christ confessing people, the covenant people. And he's calling them to account for their unbelief. And that's the force of the language, you islands, just distant places. Islands, nations are clearly parallel here in the opening verse. Let be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations, the goyim, let the Gentiles, let the outsiders, we would say pagans, renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet at the place of judgment. Now, this is a word fundamentally to the people of God, but it's a word to the people of God about his attitude toward the nations and toward the God or the gods of the nations. And so this is a word to us about the dangers and the temptations of idolatry. And he calls then these gods to account, and he gives a warning. He says, now let's come. I call you to trial. Present your evidence, and I'll present my evidence, and we'll see how it comes out. And so he issues this summons in verse 1, and then he repeats the summons in verses 22 through 26. Bring in your idols. Tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were so that we may consider them. Well, of course, he's made an impossible test. The idols never tell anything. The idols don't speak. And he mocks them, doesn't he? He mocks them and says, they have to be hammered down. They have to be nailed down so that they don't fall down. When the winds of judgment, which Yahweh brings, when they come, you'll have to hold on to them. Strap on to your gods so they don't fall over. Reminds us of other passages in Scripture. Yell louder. Maybe your God has gone away. Maybe he's on vacation. This is a mocking of the foolishness, of course, of unbelief. So you see that parallelism in the two parts of this chapter. And the warning is also parallel. Verses 2 through 7, he issues the warning the first time. He says, who has stirred up one from the east? And then again, he does it later on in the passage in B prime. He repeats the warning in verses 22 through 26. So there's the call there. 21 is the summons, really, and then 22. Present your case is the summons, and then 22 is the warning. Bring your idols and see what they are able to do. Verse 25 is the parallel hill. I have stirred up one from the north, and he comes from the rising sun who calls on my name. The sun doesn't rise in the north, it rises in the east. What does this mean? Well, it's the same language as verse 2, who has stirred up one from the east. Typically, in the prophets, judgment, danger, calamity, particularly martial or military calamity, often comes from the north. And so this is a loose way of speaking, but it's almost certainly parallel with verse 2, who has stirred up one from the east? And of course, he's talking about Cyrus, isn't he? And God is going to raise up his servant. He even calls him a righteous. He's going to do the righteous will of Yahweh, and he's going to winnow the nations with this Reved Yahweh, this servant of the Lord. So he issues a warning. He issues a summons. He issues a warning. And he puts the idols on trial in verses 2 through 7 and 22. And following puts them on trial in both places in a parallel. And he warns about the coming of this servant of the Lord. But it's not fundamentally about Cyrus that he really wants to talk. Certainly that's important. And Cyrus is going to do, he's going to use Cyrus to do tremendous things. But the heart of this passage is right here in the middle. And then it sort of comes back to this theme at the end of the chapter. Verses 8 through 20 is right at the heart of what he wants to say. We have a summons, a warning, and now the promise. I've called the nations to account. I've given a warning of what I'm going to do. But here is the good news, if you will. Here is the gospel. He turns and he addresses his servant Israel, Jacob, his people personified, his son whom he redeemed out of Egypt. And he says, but you, my son, whom I have chosen, descendants of Abraham, I took you from the ends of the earth. You see, I'm not like the nations. I'm not like the gods of the nations. I am a God who saves. I'm not a God who needs to be nailed down and protected. I am the God from whom the nations must be protected. I am the powerful Savior, and you've forgotten me, but I have not forgotten you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, how indeed will he strengthen them? How indeed will he uphold his Israel, his Jacob, his son? He will uphold his son with his son, with his servant. And you see that, we begin to get a picture of that as we go through the middle of the chapter. For I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. People of God, I don't know what Isaiah made of this. I don't know what the original hearers made of this. But I know what we must make of this. For he has done it. His right hand was in the womb of a virgin. His right hand was a child. And his right hand came to help worm Jacob, little Israel. I myself will help you, declares the Lord. I myself. Who's speaking here? It's God the Son. The same God who said to the nations, come, you nations, come, you idols, come to trial. That same one has rescued his Israel. And he has made his Israel a threshing sledge, verse 15, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them. You say, well, when was that? I say it's happening right now. When was that? Was that after Israel came out of Babylon? Was that in the period before the incarnation? Were they doing a lot of threshing? No. Were they conquering a lot of nations? No. But the servant of the Lord came and said, I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. There's your threshing. There's your crushing. There's the reducing of the hills to chaff. This is, as it were, the judgment on the nations. But it's a blessing, you see, because the servant of the Lord came and he took the judgment. And now he is putting in the desert the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, the olive, the pines, and the water, so that my people may see and know and may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Indeed, he created it by his sovereign power and his grace and his mercy. But it's not clear yet in this passage how it's all going to be. And you see that doubt at the end of the passage. Clearly, the gods of the nations have nothing to say. Verse 26, who told you of this from the beginning so that we would know, or beforehand so that we could say he was right? No one told of this. I, verse 27, was the first to tell. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good tidings. There's none among the nations, none among the gods, only Yahweh. They, the nations, their gods, they're all false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. But not so with our God, not so with our Christ.